Welcome all to all the nerd enthusiasts and geek aficionados. I think I said that backwards, but I don't care because I'm not messed. I am Beacon. You are here. You made it to the right place. This is Malice Cast Live, Season 2, Episode 11, Comics, Turbo Comics. Oh! We have special guests with us tonight. We're going to have a great time talking about some comic news, as well as just some general just thoughts about what's going on in the nerd world out there. So we'll start this thing off by introducing who's on cast, and then after that we'll go around and talk about what we're all nerding out on, geeking out on. So with me, co-hosting with me tonight in Mess's absence, he is off gallivanting at WonderCon, is the Epic Beard himself, Mr. Big Papa Matt.
Say hello. Hey, how you doing? What's going on, everybody? No, I'm good, man. As far as nerding out on things, not much more nerding out than actually having a man who runs a comic book store here with us. The ultimate nerding thing. We can just shoot questions in his way and directions, and I'm wanting to see what kind of bullets he's willing to dodge. So that's got me excited. Oh, so. no, just excited beyond. I love being on with you guys. It's always a pleasure. Ni No Kuni 2, it's here. It's in my hands, but it has not been able to hit the PS4 yet because I just haven't had the time to plug it in yet. So I can't not wait to destroy that this weekend.
Yes. This has been a big month for gaming with continued hype from Monster Hunter, of course, but we had Secret of Mana, we had Shadow of the Colossus, of course, and then
Murder Pickle came out. You know, they just Murder Pickle just came out in Monster Hunter.
So Murder Pickle is an actual game. You guys weren't just joking on the chat.
A monster within the game.
It's a monster within that game. His name is, his actual name is Devil Joe, but everybody calls him the Murder Pickle
because it looks like a murderous pickle. I mean,
yeah. I thought it was just a weird Igor reference, and we all just ran with it.
I don't know who calls Igor Pickle, but I dig it.
speaking of Igor, why don't you say hello to us, Igor? Say hello to Twitch out there.
Hello, Twitch out there. How are you this evening? As the Mr. Big Papa Man said, we even have an actual professional geek nerd here tonight. Happy to have you, sir. And yeah, it's been a lot of work on the real adult job for me, so not a lot of geeking out, but I did manage to catch up on Legion so far by Peter Milligan, and I'm really enjoying the heck out of that. As I've found him intriguing ever since the Age of Apocalypse.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely want to give a quick shout out in the chat channel to Marley Ba, who's joined us as well. So hope you're doing well tonight, Marley Ba. She said she has been spending the week teaching smallish children how to do maths and how to science with the world. I can understand that 100%. So
I'm just glad you're not teaching them English, Marley. So.
Hello. What else have you been geeking out on, Igor? What else has been going on?
Not a whole lot, other than I'm trying to be a good clan founder in you know where. Rep the Malice Corp on the digital on the purely digital front. Tried out the new Nightfall format in Destiny 2. It's a lot of fun. I liked having an almost video game raid-like sort of experience that was timed, but they took that out, and now you can actually choose your own difficulty settings every time. That's pretty sweet.
Nice.
And headache-inducing.
Jack says that he has been, he just finished watching Altered Carbon, the TV show, as well as the book. I know he just finished the book Ready Player One, which we'll talk about later on in the show today. He's rewatching Punisher and playing a lot of Cars Burnout for PlayStation. So lots of fun as well. And of course, Mest is saying his signal sucks on a bus in Anaheim, blah, 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 blah.
I'm a loser. The thing with Burnout, man, is there's something very satisfying about those cars crashing all the time. I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but there is something super satisfying about watching the slow-mo, like, parts flying out. I mean, it's pretty crazy. So that was a really nice remake to see that in HD. It's fun to see all the graphics and particle effects on that working.
Definitely. Welcome, Polyfuse, to the chat channel as well. Glad to have you. And next, who What is messy? Our female persuasion or something like that?
I hope that's what he says.
I think that's what he says. Super Whovian freak. How are you doing?
I'm better than I was last week. I think I sound like a human.
Yes, definitely.
Debatable.
You sound a little better.
Yeah. So, can't complain.
Good. What have you been, anything particular that you've been nerding out on this week?
I caught up on a ton of shows. I caught up on Blue Bloods. I caught up on The Gifted, which is still really good in its pilot season. And Blue Bloods is not in its pilot season, but it's still really good. Caught up on How to Get Away with Murder. And caught up on Modern Family. And that show is absolutely hilarious. If you haven't seen this week's episode, you got to watch it. You're in for a treat with Ty Burrell trying to do street dancing with Eric Stone Street. And hip-hop dancers, they ate, but they gave it their all. And it was friggin' hilarious.
Nice. And last but certainly not least, our guest. You know, I've been talking about Turbo Comics for a long time now, and repping them. We finally have Max from Turbo Comics joining us today. Say hello, Max.
How's it going, guys? Nice to be on here, and I want to thank you guys for having me. It's awesome, you know, to actually be on here. You know, it's been awesome to, you know, kind of like keep sharing your guys' stuff, like on our page, on our Twitter constantly. So, yeah, I'm stoked. So, yeah, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Anything in particular? We'll get to the con that we both attended. So, yeah, and you, of course, helped host. But anything besides maybe that you've just been personally kind of geeking out on?
Oh, man. I guess some of the stuff that I've been geeking out on, I'm really slow with video games. So I'm still geeking out. Like, I'm a big Alien guy. So I'm still geeking out on Alien Isolation. That game is like insane. And I can see like why so many people like hate that game, but I love that game. So I've been geeking out on that a little bit. I've been geeking out like also on just, I guess just collections like that we've purchased lately, trying to get them ready for the con. And there's some books too that, you know, are normal published books that I've been geeking out on. And, you know, there's a lot of good stuff going on in DC and a lot of good stuff going on in Dark Horse that I've been geeking on. You know, I'm a Mignola guy, so anything in that BPRD or Hellboy universe, I geek on profusely. Nice. Yeah, I love that stuff. So a lot of geeking out. I'm geeking out.
Yes. Love it. Love it. Yeah, with that being said.
And you're getting some Xenomorph love for your shirt, by the way.
Yes.
We didn't bring up Timeless. We forgot to bring up Timeless.
I haven't actually started watching. I'm way behind. Yeah.
I mean, did we really forget, or was that on purpose?
Oh!
Maybe for you, but not for me.
No, that's good to know. That's good to know. I'm glad Timeless is doing good stuff. So.
Yeah.
I got to have my weekly dose of Malcolm Barrett from some way or another way. If it's not Preacher, then I need to have him from Timeless. So I got to get back into it. I've been so far behind on TV shows myself. But I've been watching Jessica Jones lately. My favorite Netflix Marvel show, and I'm on. So of course, season 2 dropped here. What was it like a week and a half ago? 2 weeks ago. And I'm 5 episodes in and loving it so far. So that's really all I've been doing other than work and
sleep.
Literally sleeping to try to feel better. So, and taking lots of cold medicine. But I also did this last weekend, attend a local Comic-Con. So I have an article out on the website. So if you get a chance, go to www.malice-corp.com and check it out. It's Bordertown Comics 2018 review. And I talk about a lot of some of the personal connections I was able to make. And my son went with me as well, a 15-year-old. So some of the connections we were able to make with local artists and just kind of how special that venue is for spotlighting local artists. It's not WonderCon like Mest is at. It's certainly not San Diego Comic-Con or New York. But that's okay. It's different in a really beautiful kind of intimate way. with those local artists. So would love for Max to tell us a little bit about his experience as a vendor and a promoter, just kind of how that works.
Totally. So, you know, a lot of us grew up around where Bordertown Comic Con took place. And you know, this was this third year. And, you know, there's nothing there for, like, kids to do, like, at all. And so when they first started having that, you know, this was when Turbo Comics was basically just in its infancy. We went there with, you know, just a small table and maybe six short boxes and had a great time. And it's kind of like you said, it's kind of morphed and gotten bigger and bigger every year, but it hasn't lost that intimacy. It hasn't lost that sort of like thing that makes it great, where its focus is, you know, really on artists and local creators. And it's a good thing for the community. It, you know, it gives people something to do, you know, and it gives like a community something to like rally around and be proud of. And so we're pretty proud to support it. And as a vendor, it's always been, you know, super easy. Like, they're super easy to work with. They're, you know, I know those guys, have known them for years and years. So, this year it was our first year as a sponsor actually for the event. You know, because as Turbo Comics has grown, like, obviously we've wanted to lend, like, I guess the, notoriety regionally that we have to, you know, different events so that we can raise awareness or raise money or do something for like that. So, it was really fun to be a sponsor for that event, and we had a great time. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I got a chance to go to a couple of the different panels, and it really is a different type of Comic-Con with I felt like the panels were more of a workshop to really have some one-on-one time with artists to learn, really to kind of hone your own craft when it comes to writing or creating comic books, and kind of what goes on behind the scenes of what it takes to you know, get those great comics that we read. So,
not totally. I'm really jealous that you got to go to all the panels. Why I had Sleep Comics actually, but you know, that you're totally right, because I went to a lot of the panels last year, and it was just the same sort of thing. It's almost like you know, it's almost like a roundtable kind of atmosphere where you're not just there to listen to what they have to say, but actually participate in it as well. And you actually can learn a lot. And, you know, there are people that come that are local, but the cool thing is that a lot of our local people here have actually worked in the industry. You know, we have guys like Steve Wilhite, who, you know, who's worked in the industry. He's an absolutely fantastic artist. You know, Dan Feldmeyer, you know, people like that. And you can really learn a lot from them. And it's small enough that it still has that sort of, you know, it's not like these people are untouchable. You know, you can actually go up to them and talk to them and learn from them. So, yeah, I'm jealous that you got to go to all those cool panels.
Well, I want to open it up to the rest of the group here if they have kind of some questions about that kind of Comic-Con venture for someone like yourself.
Yeah.
Don't everybody jump in at once.
Sorry, I'm like choking over here. Apologize. You know, conventions are something that's phenomenal, and I've been to everything from big to small. You know, I've been to SDCC, I've been to small, you know, conventions in Dallas, and one of the coolest things about it is the convention community, the mojo, the feel, whatever it is, the atmosphere. One of the greatest things about that is it always feels like a really safe place for people to just have some fun and be free and to enjoy themselves with the things that they enjoy the most. And how do you think that's something that is created in those, like, every time? It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't matter big or small. I feel that every single one I've been to.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that in almost every single one that I've been to. I'm trying to think of like ones that haven't gone so well, but usually it wasn't because of like the people in attendance, you know. And it's obviously different sometimes from a vendor or guest perspective. Sometimes things can go awry and you just have to make the best out of it. So there are those rainy days, but overall, every single con that I've been to as well, like big and small, it always has that type of nurturing, I guess, atmosphere, which is really awesome. And I think, you know, all of the different events that we have here regionally, here in the Treasure Valley, they're really like that. And it's because we're, you know, a place here in the United States that's growing insanely rapidly. but we're still small enough that the local community here really rallies around these types of events. And so, you know, not only do you have that feeling that you're talking about, that you even experience at bigger cons, but it's almost even more intimate because we all know each other. You know, we all see each other all the time at every event. And so it's rewarding because you can see all of us kind of like kind of grow up and mature. And you know, here pretty soon we're going to be hosting, you know, far larger cons that, you know, that you often see in bigger cities. So it's exciting. It's super exciting to be, I guess, right now living in a city that is kind of like growing up. And that's pretty cool. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's got to be a great feeling, you know, especially considering when, you know, I've been to things like E3 as well. You know, I've been to WonderCon. I've been to the Stanley Kamikaze in L.A. And it's just there is such a cool feeling, I think, about the small ones, especially. I also think, you know, I've found some of my best friends at some of the smaller conventions. You know, Dallas, I still talk to some of those vendors from out there because I get to spend a little more time. And that is true. I think when so many of your guys' hands are involved with that, you know, there's a lot more care with that. So that's a really cool feeling.
I mean, we've met like so many people. I mean, I've made really great friends because I try to go to Long Beach Comic Con, you know, Long Beach Expo almost every year. And because I really like that con because it's kind of in that middle area where it's not gigantic, but it's not too small. And you get a really good feeling from that. But, you know, it's you go to something like that and it's not so crowded that you can actually talk to some of the people that are, you know, that are there, you know, that are the guests, that are the vendors. And we've made like tons of friends just through that. And so we have contacts all throughout California now too. And so it's great. It's a really great thing, you know, to have that community sort of spiderweb all over, you know, it's just fantastic. You know, and like you said, you meet like friends from Instagram and from Twitter and all these other places. And, it's just really cool. So awesome gathering place.
That's really cool. I love hearing that. And I'm glad I feel the same way that those vendors do then, because I'm glad I don't walk away and the vendor's like, what a creep, you know?
They still do that.
I'm so glad your response was not like, I hate guys like you. You're a dirt. Oh,
why didn't that guy buy Amazing Fantasy 15? I can't believe it.
I've got a question that that Igor might enjoy as well, which is, What's the most obscure comic that you sold or talked about at the con?
Wow.
And then I'll let Igor jump in with maybe his thoughts on what you come up with, because I know he'll know it.
Wow. I'm trying to think of what the most... Too.
We're in it.
We'll give you a little bit of time to think on it real fast, because we do want to make sure, you know, we're here for you. Turbo Comics, guys, please reach out to Turbo Comics. This is a phenomenal shop, but also you want to support the show here, support the site. Check us out on our malice-corp.com. Click on our Amazon links, help support the show. They are running 20% off for Far Cry 5 Gold Edition right now. Just FYI. So a little bit there for you guys. So hopefully that bought you some time there, Max. I'm a champion staller is what they call me.
The thing about it is like, I don't know how obscure this really is. In my mind, it's not obscure. It might be obscure to someone else, but probably an issue of Man-Eating Cow. I don't know if you guys have heard of that before. Thank you.
You're getting a golf clap over here.
Right. And if you guys are like Tick fans, I'm a massive Tick fan. Yes. It's kind of put out by the same people that did the Tick like back in the day. And, you know, there's a guy that comes, you know, he's just someone that we know that comes to every event that we do. And we always have some funky books waiting for him. Nice. And this time we had a stack of stuff that, you know, we thought that he might be interested in. And he was absolutely stoked about Man-Eating Cow and couldn't stop talking about Man-Eating Cow. So that'd probably be the one, you know, the one that like immediately comes to mind. There might have been something else, but that one is my favorite probably.
I think she actually got an action figure in the 90s.
Really?
Or maybe it was a Happy Meal toy. I can't remember. Yeah, it had like a foot in her mouth and everything.
I can't remember if Man-Eating Cow was ever on the Tick cartoon. But,
she showed up in the alligator pit scene. She never got mentioned, but just like there's the alligators and...
Nice.
Awesome.
Spoon! Yes. I by the way, if you haven't seen the, was it Hulu that did the, was it, or is it Amazon Prime that did? Yeah. Amazon Prime.
Oh yeah, Amazon
Prime. Everything's on Amazon Prime.
If you haven't seen the Tick show, you should give it a watch. It's
I haven't watched it yet. Is it actually a good time?
No, it's great. Okay. Ask Red Meepaw in the chat if she loved the Tick, and she'll tell you how much she loved the Tick. If she's still there, she
phrasing.
Well, make sure your internet hits that first syllable real good. It was lost on that last one.
Yes. There is no way really though to pretty up. I mean, whoever thought of that, you know it was a dude.
Yes, there she goes with a spoon.
Red is yelling, yeah, she's yelling spoon in the chat, so she's on it.
Awesome.
I was going to say, I think we need to have you give Mest when he comes back a tip on how to wear better hats. That's the best hat that's been on the show.
This one, really?
Hands down, yes. Best hat that's been on the show.
Yeah, that's awesome. I have best hat award so far.
Yes. It probably helps when the person that's saying that is a Steelers fan, so.
There you go.
Yes.
there's some true bias in by that.
Yes. I was thinking next time if you guys have me back, I'll have to wear like a top hat or like a cowboy hat or something.
Don't do that. I was in Dallas for a long time, and we made sure that never happened. So.
As long as you're wearing that shirt to match the top hat, I think that would be perfect.
Yes. There you go. Please bring a cane, and we'll all order what he had.
Well, I need a monocle as well, then, you know, and then I'll just look like Mr. Peanut or something, you know.
There you go.
Well, the Monopoly Man, right?
Right, there you go.
One question we had from the chat channel, so we threw it out there as, you know, if anybody had any questions, and our very own Icy Zorro, who's on cast with us often, he's asking, how do I get past the dense lines of early 90s comics?
Oh wow. Yeah.
He's one of our enthusiastic. He's our most enthusiastic, like, newcomer to comics, essentially.
Right.
And so he's jumping in with both feet.
So is he asking, how does he like avoid it?
I think maybe tips and tricks on how to get tips and tricks, like strategies on how to get past some of the dense lines of early, like, is there,
wow,
what are your, I mean, what's your advice for getting to the 90s comics?
I mean, it depends on that's a loaded question, but it kind of depends on like what part of the 90s we're talking about, right? I mean, if we're talking about early 90s, there were some really quality books in the early 90s, you know, especially, you know, I think Marvel and DC put out some really good books in the early 90s. And, you know, obviously, like, before everyone left with the Image Exodus, there were some really good things going on at Marvel. You know, I think after, like, if we're talking about comics after 1994, like from 94 to like 2000, and we're talking about the big two in particular, you might just want to avoid all of that with the caveat that there's maybe like 15 really good stories from like one of the two big two, and you know, just hit me up and I'll tell you which ones those are.
Well, I see coming from Jack for early Spider-Man, early 90s Spider-Man was really, really good.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, early 90s Spider-Man was great. You know, Todd McFarlane's early stuff was good. I actually really like, I mean, I'm kind of biased because I grew up around that time. I was buying comics around that time as a kid, and like mowing lawns and like spending it on like Ron Lim Silver Surfer issues. You know, I mean, that was a great time, you know, for me. So,
and he is not—he's not talking about the Spider-Man that were in the Sunday comics of the Press Enterprise.
No.
A little different. Come on, he was right under Blondie. How bad could it be? Yeah.
I would actually cut those out and make like a binder out of them. Like I would paste them into like a paper.
They actually weren't that bad. I mean, for the Press Enterprise, it really wasn't that bad.
Oh no, they were great. You know, written by Stan Lee, and I think they were illustrated by John Romita like a lot of the time. But
I think it was Senior, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, great stuff. But yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, in regards to the 90s, it's sort of trial and error. And it just kind of depends on what he's into. It just kind of depends on the titles he's into. If he's into Justice League, there's some great Justice League stuff in the 90s. If he's into, you know, more indie comics. Obviously, you know, Dark Horse was doing fantastic mm-hmm. stuff, you know, well into the late 90s. So it just depends kind of on the comics that you want to read. So
I completely agreed. I think that's a good segue into our nerd news. And one of the big nerd news that came out this week, well, it's big for comic books. And it ties into something I see Zora was mentioning, that he's currently reading old issues of Deadpool. I'm going to try to link all this together. Follow me here, Twitch.
Let's go, Tarantino.
We're going to make it. Ready? is that there was just announced that X-Force is, the original X-Force team is returning in June. So we'll have Cannonball, Domino, Feral, Boom Boom, Shatterstar teaming up with Cable versus Strife. My tie-in is Cable will be with Deadpool and Domino in the new Deadpool 2 movie. So there's my tie-in. I've connected it together. What do you guys think about? Is anybody a big X-Force fan from original X-Force? I know I read some.
I mean, OG X-Force, I didn't read a ton of OG X-Force. You know, I was much more recent. It's very recent X-Force stuff, actually. It was actually really good.
Stretching Igor there.
Well, the OG X-Force had a wide color palette. It sure had that.
It didn't have a lot of feet. some people will know what I'm talking about there. It didn't have a lot of feet because Rob Liefeld doesn't like to draw feet. So it didn't have a lot of feet. Yeah. The early X-Force stuff, the OG X-Force, as you guys like to call it, I suppose. I actually really liked the New Mutants title before, mm-hmm. the kind of like precursor to X-Force. And, you know, the thing about X-Force is that if you grew up during that time frame, there's always going to be a nostalgia and special place in your heart for those things. It's sort of like when you're a kid and you grew up watching Dukes of Hazzard, but then you go back and watch it in your 30s and you're like, oh my God, like, I can't believe I like the show. To me, it's kind of like that, you know. But there was actually a story on the OG X-Force stuff, which was called Executioner's Song. And it sounds kind of like that's sort of what they're trying to tap into again by reuniting their original X-Force, mm-hmm. you know, because it was, you know, all the X-Force, the original team against Strife, and you had Cable and a lot of time travel like you have in those X-Men issues. And, they're not bad. It's okay.
Definitely the newer X-Force with Deadpool leading it, I think, is probably where most people, most people's attention is drawn because it's Deadpool. Speaking of Deadpool, we had a new trailer drop for Deadpool this week, and I'm curious what everybody, kind of their thoughts on it. We'll start with Super.
The quotes in it were friggin' hilarious. I can't wait for the movie. It was so funny. Ryan Reynolds was on point. I can't wait for it. And in the chat, just FYI, in case you wonder why we hear an explosion from San Diego, that would be Jack exploding because Polyfuse was teasing him about Michael Bay directing a new Flash movie, which, as we know, Michael Bay is Jack's absolute favorite director ever. Loves him as much as he does Superman.
You can't speak those things into existence.
How about we not mention Michael Bay anymore on this show, because I can't handle any more of my childhood having knives in their hearts, man. Like, I can't have any more Ninja Turtle, debauchery. It hurts. It
Transformers.
Hurts. Focus on Deadpool 2. Focus on Deadpool 2. Jack, okay.
Yeah.
I'm there with you, Jack. I got your back, bro.
Yeah. No. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I can't wait. I watched it at work at my desk when I shouldn't have been, but it was worth it.
Icy Zora says the trailer was friggin' good. So he definitely enjoyed it. Did anybody else get a chance to see it?
I refused to watch it.
Well, in background for you, Big Papa Matt hates trailers in general, because they so it's not just a Deadpool thing. It's a We don't like trailers that give away the story. So,
amen. Which
trailer
amen.
I just can't do it. I when it's this close to movie time for flicks and it's getting within that 3 to 4 month period, I have to stay away from trailers. I literally sit in the theater now with my eyes closed during the trailers.
Or a little late. Yeah.
Which I hate, because that used to be one of my favorite parts of the movies, is going to see trailers and being hyped up for the next film. But when they're just giving away just huge plot points and traps or twists, I it drives me crazy.
Yeah. The good thing I think about Deadpool is I don't think that they'll ever give away the plot of the movie with the trailer, because the things that they do in their trailers end up having nothing to do with the movie.
That's true. Overall quality, though. Yeah. Overall quality, though, I still have to give it to the first trailer. I mean, my God, the entirety of the Old Man.
That was excellent.
That was just Godspeed, you beautiful bastards.
And the Bob, and of course the Bob Ross shout out Bob Ross commercial trailer that they did. They tend to do the beauty of Deadpool is I think they tend to do trailers that promote the movie, but in a way that it doesn't. And I see Zorro's talking about it right now in the chat, where it doesn't give away a lot of the story, but you're actually getting something that's not even going to be in the movie,
right?
And so I love the way that they promote Deadpool movies, and they did it with the first one and now with the second one, where you don't give, it doesn't give anything away, and you're actually getting something different that you're not going to go see in the theater. And it's a lot of fun. The whole like playing with the, you know, the action figures and, you know, stuff like that, that, you know, is not going to be in the movie. And then you get the quick Cable scene that is in the movie. So it's kind of,
I'm excited to see Cable. Yeah. Excited to see how they do that. I mean, so you know what we've seen so far looks pretty cool. So that should be a lot of fun. Like,
hey.
It's crazy to think that we're seeing these characters on the screen now. I think, but
I love Polyfuse's comment. He says they could show the whole thing. They could show the whole movie in the trailer. He would still go see it. So there certainly are movies like that where it doesn't matter what spoiler you've given me. I'm going to go watch that movie. And I would definitely say Deadpool is one of those. It would be hard for Deadpool to disappoint.
Actually, it's so good. Know,
it's so good.
We're talking about the Deadpool cinematic crew. I'm willing to bet we're predicting here. We're going to get some kind of 2-hour trailer for Deadpool 2 or Deadpool 3. It will happen. Mark my words. Maybe it'll be Ryan Reynolds reading the phone book. I don't know, but it's going to happen.
In other news, and of course, if you want to catch up on Deadpool comics, go check out at Turbo Comics ID or Turbo Comics on Facebook, and Max can certainly help you out with key issues or filling the gaps in your collection that you might be missing. We can also talk about Amazon, so you can also go to our Amazon store, of course, click on one of our Amazon links through mouse-corp.com, where you can get trade paperbacks or any of the other issues that Max can't help you out with. So you can also get the, you know, you can buy the movie on Amazon Prime. And with that Amazon Prime subscription, you can also subscribe to our channel and help us out. So if you do have Amazon Prime, we would love to have your free gift of subscription and send it our way. And we have
Mutants 98, Deadpool right there.
Nice.
Bingo. Yeah.
There's your Deadpool issue.
Yeah.
There he is.
That's a clean white page one, too. Ooh.
He had four lines?
But in other news, kind of shifting over to television, but staying in the comic genre, we did have news this week that CW show Legends of Tomorrow is promoting Matt Ryan, not the Atlanta Falcons Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan, Constantine. They're promoting him to a season regular for season 4.
I know. Smart choice. I'm excited. I think Big Papa's excited over there too. Might even get him to watch Legends again.
Absolutely not. Will it get me to watch Legends? I will figure out a way to watch YouTube clips or something with Matt Ryan in them to see if they're staying true to Constantine. Legends of Tomorrow, I really wish he was on anything but that show, honestly.
I love it this season. I think this season right now, it's the strongest out of all of them. Maybe Flash will finish strong at the end if they finally do something with those damn symbols Barry was writing at the beginning. But Arrow is having an up and down season. We all know how y'all feel about Supergirl. but
Supergirl, I don't mind. I don't mind Supergirl too much, but
I don't mind it either.
Legends of Tomorrow is just a mess most of the time.
Oh, so. Man, I love it this season. Absolutely. The characters, what? I mean.
Have you been watching Black Lightning at all? Because I actually haven't watched any of it.
No, I haven't watched it. I thought I was going to give season one a go when it came on Netflix.
Okay.
CW has spurned me too much this recently, these last year and a half or so. It's hard to watch anything.
So the big caveat here with the Constantine tie-in is there's a big if. And the big if, this is kind of tied to what Big Papa Matt is saying about the show kind of being a mess at times, is the big if they renew it for a season four. So it is not, or has not been renewed for season four yet. The showrunner and the producers are anticipating it will be renewed and all the superhero shows will be renewed. But as we know with television, just because they think it's going to happen here in, you know, in March, April, doesn't mean it's going to actually come to fruition when the fall rolls around. So,
well, I have to go with one that, I have to go with one that two-fifths of us might not be able to really sound out. Well, one half of us might not be able to sound off on, but the other half absolutely would, just because it so fits. It's a weird choice. Constantine's a weird choice. Not a bad one, but literally just a strange one, because even in the source material, completely different tonal shift. It'd be kind of like... kind of like picture, I don't know, Ashley J. Williams from Army of Darkness in Teen Titans Go.
Kind of like that. That is
it's so I don't know. I'm genuinely not criticizing. I'm genuinely not saying, what are you thinking? I'm genuinely saying, what are you thinking?
Absolutely.
I don't understand, but to the point that I'm curious. But at the same time, it really could work out well, because I know Big Papa Matt, and I know, and I'm willing to bet all my pennies that Max will be able to chime in here too. Look at Scott Bobdell's work on Red Hood and the Outlaws lately. Right. What with Jason Todd and the Artemis and the Bizarro and such. That is a group that fits together like, I don't know, Legos and Motley That's Crew. Like, but
I think that I think DC has been obviously, in the comics at least, they've been trying to, for quite some time now, they've been trying to integrate Constantine into like the regular DC continuity, you know, so you're going to see like John Constantine in the same room as Hal Jordan and things like that. And at first I was like completely against that. I was like, no, you know, that doesn't, no, you know, but, you know, it's okay now. I've kind of came to accept it. I actually liked Justice League Dark quite a lot, but I was an old school Hellblazer fan. You know, I loved Vertigo comics, and so it was difficult at first, you know, to kind of see that integration. But I haven't actually seen any of the. I haven't seen that show on the CW, so I'm not exactly sure how that would work. But I did watch Constantine when it was, you know, the actual show, television show, and. So I suppose it just depends on the tone of the character and what they decide to do, but I can see it working.
Yeah, DC's done a really, you know, they've been doing a lot to support the Hellblazer run since they pulled it off from Vertigo and made it part of the main label. And my thing is I love that they're trying to get him into places, but this one just feels very forced on us. Right. Like, you know, when you look at something, you know, you mentioned Red Hood and the Outlaws right now, like that right there, at least is like, well, this could be interesting, you know, Bizarro, Artemis, you know, maybe this will work. With this one, it's just so forced on you where it's like, man, like these guys are traveling through time and dimensions, and they need to have a really good reason for landing on John Constantine's doorstep or for him landing on theirs. You know, like it doesn't make a ton of sense to me. So,
yeah. Well, that's the thing with Legends, though, is a lot of the times I hear these plot lines and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. And then I watch the episode and I'm like, well, hot damn, they actually pulled. It's so, these plot lines for Legends is, and you're not right. You're not wrong. I mean, they sound ridiculous. I mean, and then you watch the episode and it's like, they actually have some really solid writers on there and some really solid actors as well to be able to pull this sheer ridiculousness off. I mean, they did an episode literally where they went back in time to save George Lucas, who was in the process of beginning to write Star Wars.
That was a fantastic episode.
As he gets denied the ability to write Star Wars, or he gets terrified or something, Star Wars never gets written. Literally changes like the course of all future history. scientists are no longer scientists. People don't become the archaeologists they're supposed to be. So like everything is destroyed. The world is broken, all because George Lucas doesn't get to write Star Wars. And then they go back, they save him, and peace and humanity is restored and everything's all good. I mean, that shouldn't work in any scenario, but it worked and it was hilarious.
Leave my Constantine out of it. Pull hold. That's all I got.
And as a quick aside, we do read the chat.
Yeah. They are experimenting with characters. I'm cool with experimenting with characters, bringing it back. You know, you saw what happened, like Marvel experimented with Guardians of the Galaxy, turned into one of their biggest hits, right? Yeah. I'm cool with DC doing that, CW doing that. Constantine's just one that's close to my heart that I love a ton. I love that character. I love how he operates. I like the where he lives. And you mentioned like Justice League Dark, you know, that was phenomenal. I really, really enjoyed that. And, you know, I'm a big Swamp Thing fan, and I love that darker side of the DC universe. And it does not feel like a horror genre or a dark genre when you're talking about Legends of Tomorrow or anything on CW.
Can we get Constantine on HBO?
Yes.
Hellblazer on HBO.
Cinemax, Showtime, Stars, anything we could get a higher rating. You know, something we could get a little bit more of a mature rating on.
Like a Hellblazer show on HBO could be.
Or even AMC. Amazing.
Right, totally.
But they're going to need something on HBO when Game of Thrones ends.
And dragons ain't gonna be paying the bills. Lars, Beast, thanks for the donation, sir. We appreciate you. All those out there donating and subscribing to the channel. We love the hell out of all of y'all. So thank you so much, Mr. Beast.
And then IC points out that speaking of experimenting with characters, Constantine did sleep with the White Canary. So there's all that.
Yeah, she's also slept with a lot of other people. She's definitely
throughout history, let's put it that way.
Yeah, she's gotten around a little bit, so it's
why did I just get the gummy bears theme playing in my head? Oh god. Okay, here we go. Happy Place. Somebody knows this one, maybe multiple. good merging of John Constantine into main continuity. The Books of Magic, yes. Anybody? Okay, you should read it then, if you want really good main continuity. Neil Gaiman, John Constantine, like butter,
We're gonna go a slightly different route here. I was gonna talk this whole Bane Ninja Turtle thing, but we're gonna skip that and get right to. We were just talking about Dark Horse. Max was bringing up early '90s Dark Horse comics, how great they were. Dark Horse is actually doing a tie-in. Hopefully everybody has heard about this. They're doing a tie-in comics to Incredibles 2. So they're actually going to be coming out with a three-part series and a graphic novel that tie into the Incredibles 2 movie. And really, it gives you kind of some more background as to the life of the family and kind of what's going on with them outside of the superhero kind of business. Well, it'll include superhero stuff, but what do you guys think about that, about Incredibles 2 comics?
Specifically with Dark Horse, awesome, because they have a lot of awesome original properties, but they are the only comic company that's consistently brought us awesome licenses that aren't their own comic stories.
For
like
sure.
RoboCop, like Aliens, like Star Wars. I think they'll do a great job with
it. Yeah, I think it's a really good opportunity for Dark Horse to reach and try to kind of like hit a new demographic of maybe a younger audience, but maybe not even a younger audience, maybe just Incredibles fans. You know, I think that movie had such a demand for a sequel for so long, and now people are going to get their sequel, and now they're going to get even more. So, you know, hopefully it'll turn out really well for Dark Horse. You know, I know that they've obviously had to be creative ever since losing Star Wars, and you know, they always put out great books. I mean, constantly. So I think they're going to do great job with Incredibles. I think they'll knock it out of the park.
I hope so. I hope they do something more like Big Papa was saying a few weeks ago. Don't make it all about Jack, right?
Yes, please. Please do not.
Please. I want to see more about the teenage girl. What's her name? Violet? Vi?
Yeah, Violet.
Yep.
Violet? Because I like her powers, so I hope they do something more with hers that she's, you know, that force field.
Yeah, I hope that it's successful enough that we, you know, you see like a long run of them. I hope you see, you know, maybe between 15 and 30 issues of that book, and that it is consistently printed, you know, because there's that demand. And I think that there's obviously the possibility of that. I really think that they're going to have a good creative team on it, and go out and buy it. Go out and look, check it out. So.
I'm just hoping for more Frozone.
I would totally agree. And I think one thing to tell you about that I know is part of the series that they're putting out. And I guess the hope is, right, that they put out the 3-part series. It's successful. People buy into it. People watch the movie, read the series, buy the series. And then we get something like that ongoing continued series. I know that part of what's going to happen is you're going to see the dad interacting with Jack-Jack and actually telling like bedtime stories as part of it. And so he's going to be telling some stories about his kind of adventures as a superhero. And so I know that's part of the kind of the play on what they're doing with the 3-part series is tying that together. And that'll be the connection back to the movie as well. So I know that'll happen, but I agree. I think we were talking off air. I think this is kind of a way to tap into a different audience for comic books. Because Incredibles 1 came out and we've waited how long? 10, is it more than 10 years? 15 years almost?
Yeah, more than 10 years.
We've waited forever to see this second movie come out. And so to have something that fans can kind of sink their teeth into until maybe possibly we get a third one, who knows? That would be incredible. Incredible. Right, Incredibles? No? No? Bad joke. Hey.
I mean, you were hitting it. You're hitting that bullseye, but it just didn't really work out for you. So.
No, that's Deadpool. Bullseye was with you. Yeah.
And like, I think like, Dark Horse really does a great job with these types of properties. You know, they've done a great job, like, you know, with RoboCop, like we've said, like with all these other properties. So I think that they'll do a good job. Ever since they lost Star Wars, I mean, they really relaunched, you know, the Alien, Predator, Prometheus type of stuff. And obviously I'm way into that, but they've really, really knocked it out of the park with some really great books, just regardless of what they're doing. So it's important, I think. I know I hate to refer to them as a small publisher, they're out here in Portland, Oregon, and they're not as big as the big two. So it's important to support them and check out their books, because it's really easy to look over some of the great things that they're doing in favor of, you know, some of the stuff that you might see, other great things, obviously, from Image and great things from DC and maybe Marvel. But definitely don't forget about Dark Horse, because you know, they got some great stuff.
Yeah, the thing that I love about Dark Horse is just, you know, they are a smaller publisher, but man, they put so much care and work into what they're producing and what they're putting out there. And by far, some of the best artwork and splash pages you will see on the shelves today or any day that's ever been. I'm always a huge fan, and I'm always super interested in what Dark Horse is putting out.
Totally. Absolutely agree. Well, ladies and gents, let's end tonight's cast with one last topic. We have a huge, huge movie coming out this week. I'm overly hyped about it. And that is Ready Player One. So I'm interested to see who's excited for it. Maybe why you're excited. Hopefully some of the rest of you have read the books. Book, one singular book. Interested to see your... Are you going to go see it? Are you excited? Are you hyped for it? And go. We'll start with Big Papa Matt, because I know he's my fellow.
Yes, because we have a whole other podcast. We have a whole other show about this called Quest for 100. Shameless plug. We will absolutely be watching this. I can't wait to see it. I am. You know, there seem to be a little bit of differences, some very subtle pieces with some changes, writer, taking advantage of a couple of things and taking some tweaks. I wish we hadn't seen all of the actor and actress reveals because there's a big twist with one of the friends, and that's already kind of been thrown out because we're seeing who's there and doing some voices and things. So a little bit of a bummer with that. But at the same time, I'm overly excited for this. I think getting Spielberg into the sci-fi realm, like this big splashy blockbuster that he's supposed to be doing, is his wheelhouse, and I'm so excited that he's a part of it.
I would certainly be more worried if it was somebody else. But the fact that Spielberg has his hands on it, that makes me feel more comfortable with it. But and Matt and I talked about this with Black Panthers. We were super hyped for it, and there was some concern that, am I overhyped for this movie? Am I building myself up so much that I'm going to be disappointed? We obviously were not with Black Panther. We loved it, I felt like it lived up to the hype. So I'm hoping that I can get that second one here with Ready Player One, and that it does live up to kind of my internal expectations. I know it's not going to be as good as the book. Nothing ever is, except for Game of Thrones.
Except for what?
Except for Game of Thrones. Never ending story. We'll take this outside.
I love Never Ending Story. I think I agree with you. I think Never Ending Story lived up to the books. I think a couple of the Harry Potter movies lived up to the books. I said a couple. I didn't say all. I said a couple. I think Prisoner of Azkaban is the strongest movie, and I think it held up well to the book overall. Half-Blood Prince, which is the strongest book, the movie utterly failed to deliver that. So that movie can take a boot as far as I'm concerned. But
Jack agrees with me that Game of Thrones, the show, is by far better than the books.
And 100%.
Right. But a book series like that, the show is almost always going to be better because it's just so much fun to see it, you know. And Peter Dinklage makes everything better, in my opinion.
That's true.
But Ready Player One, I'm excited for it. I am going in expecting to be disappointed, and then I'm prepared to be amazed.
Yes. Low expectations, low threshold, that way.
Very low expectations, because I am going in with the mindset of, you don't know how to do anything, and everything, every book to movie adaptation this year has been a disappointment. Look at A Wrinkle in Time. And then I'm going to be expecting to come out saying, wow, I was so wrong.
Awesome. Max, where are you at with Ready Player One?
I didn't read the book. I didn't read the book, but you know, I do with movies like this and just movies in general, a lot of the time, I'm really awful, cause I usually go into it with some really heavy cynicism and low expectations. And I guess, I think it was in the trailer, and maybe you guys can correct me. I think it was in the trailer where they said that the author, his name's Klein, right? Klein, the author of Ready Player One. I thought they said Ernest Klein or something like that. I thought they said that, like, in the trailer that they referred to him as like the Holy Grail of pop culture or something like that. And when I read that in the trailer, I was just like, I just felt desperate, like brutal cynicism, I guess. And so I'm hoping that it changes my mind. I hope it's just not like a kind of like, you know, nostalgia for nostalgia's sake, and that there's actually some substance there. But again, I haven't read the book, so I really have no expectations whatsoever. So
if you haven't read the book, I got a great recommendation for you, and you can actually go to our website. If you don't have Audible, you can click on the Audible link. You can get 2 free books to try out Audible. After that, it's $15 a month, and it gives you access to basically one book a month. And that is the Ready Player One audiobook, which is read by Will Wheaton.
Right. Oh, cool.
Cool.
But the audiobook is amazing. So if you want to read the book and you want to get the story, jump into the audiobook and give it a listen. And Will Wheaton does a fantastic job telling the story. So that's a great way to get into the book and not necessarily, you know, especially if you're commuting, it's obviously a great way to listen to the story as well. So,
amen.
Yeah. Igor, where are you at with Ready Player One?
I too did not pick up the book. I'm kind of in the cynical boat rowing along with you, Mr. Max, because it just sounded so much like, hey, that'll be fun references, and the story's kind of, well, that's the plot's there. But even that being said, it sounds like at its worst, the book would be a big old, you know, nostalgia cavalcade.
Definitely
just for funsies. And, well, movies are really good at just putting on a big visual extravaganza. So if we get a really big honking, just explosions and light show nostalgia trip through 80s sci-fi and fantasy. Okay, that sounds really good for a movie theater experience.
I mean, the DeLorean is enough for me to want to watch it.
Yeah. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, for sure. No, the DeLorean's gonna be great. I just, you know, there's what I like what's going on with it is they're also updating it, right? Because the book was very much for the 80s kid, right? And the 80s kids references and all those things. And already from the trailers, what's been really cool is you're seeing updated gaming characters, updated movie characters. And that actually has me a little bit more excited for the film, but I know that's going to kind of, you know, ostracize a lot of the fans of the book because they're going to want it true to the book and it has to be the book. But what they have to understand is there were things that are going to be in this movie that weren't even created when this book was released. And that's what it would be in the, you know, whatever year this took place in, right? In the future, there'd be all these references from all of these things up until then. And I love that they've kind of put some of that already in the trailer. And I think that is actually what will be more true to what this story was telling, was everybody gathering around these moments, around these characters, having fun with them, playing as them, and escaping the future that is in this book. And that has me really excited for the feel and the style and the genre that we're taking part in. And once again, I'm pretty stoked for it. Like I said, I'm probably overhyping it for myself and others, but I'm okay with that. I'm going to do that to you guys. I'm going to hype this to death and all of you will hate me for it.
That's okay. You do you.
Yes. Well, definitely make sure you check it out. It is this Thursday is the opening day for Ready Player One. Hope you get a chance to get out and watch it. And, of course, you can follow Matt and I's journey, Quest for 100, where we will talk about Ready Player One on our next episode, for sure.
Where friends 100%. Don't friends, Quest alone.
No, you don't. with that, though, we're going to wrap this show. We're going to talk about where we can follow everybody. And call it a night. So let's start off with Mr. Igor. Where can we follow you at?
Come follow the all digital but in much swankier capes portion of Malice Corp on Destiny 2. Evil demonic aliens, lasers, doesn't get much better.
Wonderful, beautiful. Super, where can people follow you?
Follow me on Twitter at SuperHoovyAndNut, and then I'm going to end it with come follow me on Twitter because it is always a party. But two of my favorite online webcomics, we didn't hit a lot of webcomics tonight, but go read Order of the Stick. It's nerdy. It essentially takes you through a Dungeons and Dragons quest with the characters, you know, acting out and literally like it's gamers talking around a gaming table with what they're going to do, but it's a comic in it. It's fantastic. Order the Stick. And then check out a comic on Facebook called Just JL8. And it's based on the Justice League, but it's them as children. And it sounds corny, but it's not. It's written by Yale Stewart on Facebook, JL8. He's an amazing artist. And he makes a very engaging comic for, the Justice League as children. So go check those two things out. My recommendation.
Very interesting.
She's the one who got me into it.
Nice.
Great, great, great comic. Yeah, love that one.
So Max, why don't you tell us real quick, where can people kind of check out Turbo Comics?
Yeah. You know, most of our activity obviously is going to happen on Facebook, and you can just search us out on Facebook, just Turbo Comics. We also have a Twitter And that's just at Turbo Comics ID for Idaho. And we're also on Instagram, and that's just at Turbo Comics. And, you know, we sell a lot of books through Instagram. Instagram has an amazing comic community. I don't know, you know, how many people actually know that, but it's actually one of the best, like, online comic book communities out there, is the Instagram comic community. And, you know, whether you want to buy, whether you want to trade, whether you want to get into something new, there's just a lot of really cool people on there that can, you know, refer you to some really cool things or sell you something awesome, or you can sell them something awesome. So, really, really fun to get on there. But most of our activity does totally happen on Facebook. So,
awesome. Awesome. All right. Get your notepads and pens ready. The Big Papa Matt.
Hey, so first of all, you can follow me at the Big Papa Matt on Instagram and Twitter. You can also follow Nerd Mosh Pit, which is another Malice Core podcast that I operate on Twitter. You can also email us at Gmail. You can follow Quest for 100 that Beacon and I are on, absolutely, as well, at Quest for Movies. It's on our Twitter links here on the show as well. Son of Maku on PlayStation Network, Son of Maku on Snapchat. Hit us all up everywhere you go. But more than anything, I want to give a huge shout out to Invincible Comics. It is finally over. It is finally ended. Invincible was a phenomenal run, and Kirkman has just released a new book series called Oblivion Song, which is excellent as well.
Super good.
Really recommend checking out Oblivion Song right now. Thank you, Max, for the love on that as well. That, you guys, like, he's been over here crushing the comic book knowledge and love, and he's been dropping some amazing things, so that's awesome to hear. I'm glad I'm not just like a Kirkman fanboy with that one. I'm glad that one has some cred. And then
I'm with you too.
Yes, Igor, I love you guys. That's so good to hear. I'm loving Oblivion Song right now. It's also sad to see Invincible finally over with, but it was a great run. I was so happy to see it end in the way it did as well. A lot of fun there. So thank you guys so much, and there you guys go.
Nice. And you can follow me, of course, at @Beacon_MaliceCorp on Twitter, as well as PlayStation Network if you want to do a little monster hunting. I'm always down. You can follow our producer, that's @JackMalice on Twitter. You can follow the website at Malice Corp and this cast here at Malice Cast, all on Twitter. Of course, check out our website, www.malice-corp.com, for all of your nerd moments, as far as comic books. And man, we even have articles about hot sauce. So, anything that you could think of that is in a nerd genre, we're more than willing to talk about here, because this is Malice Corp, all things nerd. So yep. We definitely appreciate everybody in the chat channel.
Two more. Mest will be live streaming from WonderCon all weekend, so make sure to check us out back here on YouTube as well as Twitch for his streams from WonderCon, where Malice Core will be at all weekend long. Also, huge shout out to the man on the ones and twos, Jack Malice, and Mr. Beast for coming on in and pranking us all and trolling the show. We appreciate you, man. It's been a while since we've had a good one, so you nailed it on this one, dude.
Yeah, that was good. That was lovely. And like
Holly Fuse and Marley Ba, love to see you and all of our silent friends.
Absolutely.
Come by anytime.
Yeah, Red Me Pa, thanks for joining as well. Because we like to say that there's one show going on here that you're watching, and then there's a whole nother show going on in the chat channel. It's a whole nother world out there. And you kind of got to be here to watch it. If you do rewatch this on Twitch, though, you will see the chat, so you can see what exactly we're referencing when we talk about pranking. we definitely appreciate all of you. We wouldn't do this. We could do it by ourselves, but it wouldn't really be any fun. So thank you all out there. Hope to see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And until next time, stay nerdy out there.
Thanks, Max.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.